The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
American prosperity is the bedrock of freedom and security all over the world.
An obligation to the heritage of liberty and dignity handed down to us by our forefathers.
It's time for the Pro-America Report with Ed Martin on The Answer San Diego.
Welcome, welcome, everybody. It's Ed Martin here on the Pro-America Report. Such a unique opportunity. So grateful to be with you today. Thanks for joining. It's the Pro-America Report. I'm Ed Martin. And please visit ProAmericaReport.com, ProAmericaReport.com. You can sign up there to get emails, to be in touch with everything we're doing. And I'll walk you through in a moment what the Pro-America Report is and why we're here together. But let me say first, thank you to Rumble. Rumble, of course, is a great service across the country, across the world, to try to give a free speech, not just a voice, but the images and the video. And I'm actually in the D.C. studio, the Washington, D.C. studio of Rumble. Rumble decided that in order to make it possible for more creators to get their voices and to get their faces out, that they would create a studio. And they did that in Washington, D.C. It's just a few blocks from the Capitol building. I'm live here. It's an extraordinary resource for creators. It's not a it's not some money-making venture in the sense that they say, book your time. It's, do you have a voice? We'd like to help you get your voice out there. So I'm very grateful to Rumble. As I was coming into the studio, again, I'm in the Rumble D.C. studio. Who is walking in Chairman Jim Jordan? The congressman from Ohio, he's coming in to do another creator show. We had a nice conversation. And so it's very smart, very helpful that Rumble is doing this. And I give them salutes, especially because you saw this story about Brazil. And Brazil is censoring X, the X platform, and Elon Musk by fiat. A sneaky, heavy-handed fiat that is meant to say to X, you have to stop letting the voices be heard. Well, Rumble was faced with that problem, I don't know, 18 months ago, and Rumble made the decision, well, we're out of Brazil. This is just the same thing that Elon Musk is doing. So if you're going to be in for free speech and in for free expression, you got to be in all the way, and I'm very grateful to have this chance. So welcome again, Ed Martin, Pro-America Report. You know, for almost 7 years... I have been doing the Pro-America Report. The idea is not just to be against what's happening, not just to be against the bad guys, we are, not just to be against the crazy liberals and the people that are doing such damage to our nation, but be pro-America and not even just be America first. Because while I agree with America first and a lot of the policies, and we'll talk about many of them, what I really believe in is being pro-America, our special American gifts that we have, our Constitution, our rule of law, who we are as people, our history, our traditions. One of the things you'll hear me focus on in the Pro-America Report a lot is our history and our tradition of inventing. The patent system in America is second to none in the world because it protects inventiveness and makes it so that if you fix it, build it, invent it, you can benefit from it. It makes a huge difference. So pro-America is what we're about. We're about celebrating America's greatness, about celebrating America's goodness, and about especially finding what the truth is in a world where big media, big tech, big government are lying to us. And that's what the Pro-America Report does every day. We do it on a podcast. We do it on radio. We do it on daily emails. And now we do it on Rumble from the D.C. studio of Rumble. We're very grateful. So I like to open the Pro-America Report each day with what I call the wink, what you need to know. What you need to know is also the name of an email that goes out every day, goes out at 8 a.m. East Coast, 5 a.m. Pacific every morning, Monday through Friday. And it's called the Wink, the Daily Wink. It tells you a few details of stories that are happening, a few links, but it also importantly highlights something that you need to know and understand. And if you understand that, if you get behind what you're being told and spun, you'll do a lot better in understanding what's happening and what's going to happen. So, you know, I was thinking about this as we're doing the very first Rumble DC studio show. What's the wink? What do I want to talk about? And I actually want to talk about the lesson that I've learned over the last 7 years. And that is the lesson of the narrative machine. Whether you're listening to Mike Benz, who's so masterful at telling you who the movers and shakers of the censorship industry are, whether you're in X and exploring what Elon Musk has made possible, whether you're on Rumble looking at Glenn Greenwald or others, wherever you are, you have to understand a sort of filter on what is happening. What is the narrative machine? It's big government working with big media and big tech to tell us what the narrative is, to force upon we the people what the narrative is. Now, I've learned over the last couple of years to add into that. You say big tech, big media, and big government. And I'll give you some examples of the narrative machine. But I've added in there big corporation, big business, because sometimes they're the ones driving this too. So there's really four. But what is a narrative machine? Think about the narrative machine, the Russia hoax. During the Trump administration, the Russia hoax, what was it? Well, it was big government. That was the Mueller report, the Mueller investigation, the leaking about it. At the end of the Obama administration, you had Susan Rice and Joe Biden, Barack Obama in the White House hatching plans on how to make it a Russia hoax. You had the Russia hoax, and it was aided by whom? Well, big media. They played right along. Big tech. They played along. By the time you're done, half the country believes that there was actually interference in the election, and the interference was Russians working with the Trump administration. That has been proven completely false. That's the narrative machine. Remember, the narrative machine doesn't have to be true to be effective. That's one of the worst parts about it, is when the narrative machine works, it is really, really effective, even though it's not true. Another example, I just had somebody say that when we were walking in, the Hunter Biden laptop. 51 big government intelligence officials said that the Hunter Biden laptop was a Russian misinformation plot. What happened? Big media went along. Big tech went along. 2 weeks before an election in 2020, we had big government work with big media and big tech to lie to the American people. That's the narrative machine. Another example is January 6th. Immediately after January 6th, we had big government, that's the January 6th Select Committee, which we now know not only lied, they actually destroyed evidence. They hid from the people and from their colleagues the truth. They actually intimidated witnesses and made them say things that they told them, don't say that or you're going to be in bigger trouble. That was big government. Big media, literally an ABC producer moved from ABC into the Select Committee to create made-for-TV movies, made-for-TV hearings that were covered breathlessly. $19 million spent by big government over an 18-month period, Liz Cheney, Nancy Pelosi, the Select Committee, along with big media, and then big tech, of course, driving the message, big tech furthering the message, never exposing the lies. This is the narrative machine in full effect. Once you see it, you cannot unsee it. And what you need to know, once you see the narrative machine, you can recognize it in everything we're doing. Just now with Chairman Jim Jordan, we're talking out in the hallway. As he's coming out, I'm coming in. And he says the threat to democracy. He said the people in this country now recognize that just because big government says, somebody's a threat to democracy, doesn't mean it's true, no matter what big media and big tech says. Because that's what Joe Biden and the left wants to do. They want to say, hey, you know, we really think the other side is a threat to democracy. Well, more and more Americans are looking up and they're saying, hold on a second. You're using lawfare not only against President Trump in 5, 6, 7 different instances and cases, 91 indictments, but against individuals. Pro-lifers are being arrested for praying in front of clinics. Grandmas are being sent to prison for walking through the Capitol in prayer because they say it's the wrong time. And the law is being manipulated. The law is being used against the people. And more people see that. So the beauty of understanding the narrative machine is the ability to break through it, to cut through it. Now, I have said for a long time, and we've got a couple of really great guests today, but I have to tell you, I get so encouraged by the number of people who are seeing through the narrative machine. And what you need to know is it takes some effort. It takes some effort, and it leads you to a place where if you're not careful, you can become uneasy, disappointed. You know, you kind of get frustrated. I often say that the phrase that I turned on its head, Ronald Reagan used to use the phrase, trust, then verify, about the Soviets. And I say when it comes to our government, distrust, then verify. Start out by doubting what they tell you because you can't trust them, and then verify and figure out. Don't live in a world where you cannot function and work with others and be a happy American, because pro-America means being happy with America and making it better and celebrating it and not being down and not being negative, but being real about it. And so we've got a lot more to cover. Thank you for tuning in. Listen, we're going to take a quick break. We'll get in our guest. And I want to encourage you, go to proamericareport.com, proamericareport.com. Sign up there for our emails. Also, please use Rumble and spread this video around. Cut it up in pieces if you need to. Send links around and keep spreading the word, the importance of the Pro America Report. And we'll take a quick break. We'll be back in a moment with Jeff Clark. Be right back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. I was talking last week about this book that I've been reading. It's called Arabella, The Dark Money Network of Leftist Billionaires Secretly Transforming America. The book title is a complete lie because it's no longer a secret, because our guest, Scott Walter, is the president over at the Capital Research Center. He worked in the high levels at the George W. Bush administration on policy and other issues, and he's been actively working at the Capital Research Center for years now, digging into what is actually going on. You know, Molly Hemingway has a blurb on the front of the book, which is about as good a recommendation. Molly Hemingway's her book Rigged, and many other things she's done, has been extraordinary digging into these issues. But this new book, Arabella, it's fascinating. So welcome, Scott Walter. How are you, sir?
Great. Good to be with you, Ed.
Good to be with you. So first of all, how do you choose? You do a lot of research. Capital Research Center, you go there, there's lots of research. How do you decide to turn this research into a book? What got you here?
Sure. I think that the two biggest factors are, one, Arabella is gigantic, billions of dollars every election cycle. And the second is, nobody knows about it. They know about George Soros. They've heard of Mark Zuckerberg. Most people have not heard of Arabella, and they need to know.
Arabella Advisors is the legal name, I guess. Who is it? Who is it? What is it? And let me say a starting point. How'd you find it? How'd you know to look? I mean, I know that's part of what your job is, but how'd you find it and what is it?
Well, we first discovered it in Kavanaugh summer. Brett Kavanaugh fight was on because a new group called Demand Justice was heavily involved in that fight. And as we dug into Demand Justice, we discovered it didn't really exist. It was just a fiscally sponsored project of something called the 1630 Fund. Now, the 1630 Fund had a tiny bit of press coverage because it was becoming such a big 501c4 political nonprofit. But nobody had figured out that 1630 Fund was just one of multiple half a dozen nonprofits all run by something called Arabella Advisors, which is a for-profit firm, what we call a beltway bandit in D.C. So that is how we stumbled onto Arabella. And the simplest way to put it is Arabella Advisors is a for-profit consulting firm that created half a dozen nonprofits, and then those half dozen nonprofits in turn have created hundreds of pop-up groups, which are what the public sees, whether it's Demand Justice calling for court packing or attacking a judicial nominee like Brett Kavanaugh, or Floridians for a Fair Shake, or secure Michigan elections, etc.
Great names. Our guest is Scott Walter, again, Capital Research Center president, and his book is called Arabella, The Dark Money Network of Leftist Billionaires Secretly Transforming America. It's extraordinary. By the way, chapter two, I'm playing dumb a little bit to interview you, but it is, by the way, these are Encounter Books. This is published by Encounter Books, just out in the last few weeks. But I'm playing dumb a little bit. Chapter two explains exactly who Arabella advisors are, and people need to get the book and read through this, because you'll suddenly understand the who behind it. But Scott, when you looked at this, again, you're not a novice. You're someone who's been a keen observer and in some sense a participant in you know, the policy battles of the last 25 years. Is this the fruit of the so-called dark money revolution? Is this what happens when Citizens United is decided and you can move money like this? Is this something different? Is this what Acorn was doing when they were setting up these string of nonprofits to do, you know, money transfers? Is this a progression, or is this an innovation, or is this more of the same?
I think the best way to break that down would be to say it absolutely is not simply a creature of Citizens United. United only affected, for political purposes, Citizens United decision was in 2010 and only affected 501c4 groups. Arabella actually has far more money in 501c3 charities, quote unquote, than the C4s that it has. Second, Arabella started in 2005, 5 years before Citizens United is even decided.
Gotcha.
So the thing to understand, though, there was something else created in 2005, and that was George Soros's donor cabal called the Democracy Alliance, which is roughly 100 billionaires, centimillionaires on the left. And the reason that was started was because he and the other founder, Peter Lewis of Progressive Insurance, left-wing billionaires, they each put 10.
Welcome back, Ed Martin, Pro America Report. We were talking with Scott Walter. We had a glitch there, and he was telling us the shift that took place in 2005 when a bunch of money moved in from the Soros effort. So, Scott, I'm sorry about the glitch, but please continue. It's an important point.
Sure. 2005, half a decade before Citizens United, you have a big change. George Soros and another lefty billionaire, Peter Lewis of Progressive Insurance, they create something called the Democracy Alliance,
right,
which is a cabal of about 100 billionaires and centimillionaires. And the reason they created it was because in 2004, both those billionaires had put tens of millions of dollars into the Democratic Party in hopes of
winning the presidency,
defeating George W. Bush's reelection.
Right.
When that failed, they were angry, and they listened to a guy who told them, don't waste your money in the party. It's the nonprofit world where the action is. That's where your money ought to go. So there's been this huge shift. Now, Arabella, as it turns out, by coincidence, was started the same year, although they were not connected. They and the Democracy Alliance were not then connected. Over time, they have become deeply connected because Arabella is so big and important to the left that, of course, Soros is giving it money, and so is Zuckerberg and Gates and Buffett and on and on.
Scott Walter, again, is our guest. His book, Arabella, is available from Encounter Books. You need to get it and fill in these gaps that we're covering so quickly. But it's so interesting, the book. I have to say congratulations on that, Scott. And again, he's the president of the Capital Research Center. Scott, you know, 04, 05, this starts to develop. They're using the C3s. 5 or 6 years later, it's the IRS and famously Lois Lerner that's targeting Tea Party groups. What would your best assessment be? Maybe you can't read minds, or maybe there's not a paper trail. They're looking the other way at the 501c3s and organizations that are founded that are in their own politics, I guess, right?
Yeah, one of the fascinating things nobody appreciates, the Lois Lerner scandal in the run-up to the 2012 election, almost all of the conservative groups that Lerner was refusing to allow to operate effectively, really, there were hundreds of them, almost all of them were C4 groups, not C3 groups. And again, Arabella has C4s, but it also has C3s, and it puts a lot more money through its C3s.
So my point here is that the left knew what they were doing and when they were doing it, and they were again getting at least look the other way from the government. So, Scott, again, you know, you're an observer at the highest level of this stuff and sophisticated in understanding. You read this book about all these different parts connecting. Have we lost complete control over the 501c3, the 501c4, these nonprofits? Is the system so corrupt? I mean, there was a period in, I think, the 50s when there was a Reese Committee and a Cox Report on looking at, I think, the Rockefeller Foundation and other foundations that they thought were sort of way afield of what should be done. Are we to that point? Because it does sweep underneath it a whole bunch of entities. You know, the NRA is basically being tied up in knots by the Attorney General because of their 501c4. C4, I guess, status, maybe C3 also. You're watching the targeting of entities by the lawfare, but is that system broken now completely, irrevocably?
Well, here's the complicated thing. On the one hand, there are a few particular things like voter registration that I would like the federal government just to say C3s can't do it, right? Because that's not charitable.
Right.
However, I don't at all want to say what we need is more enforcement by the IRS, because the brutal fact is the IRS always means Lois Lerner. There is you and I are not going to be running the IRS. Lois Lerner is going to be running it, whatever her name this afternoon happens to be.
Right. Well, listen, Scott Walter, unfortunately, the time flies, especially with our technical glitch. So I'm out of time. Thank you. We'll have you back again. The book again is Arabella, The Dark Money Network of Leftist Billionaires Secretly Transforming America. Scott Walter, the president of the Capital Research Center. He goes into it. It's down to the group names, the individuals. It's just up over 200 pages. Really worth reading. Encounter Books puts it out. Thank you for doing the book. And thanks for the time, Scott.
Great to be with you, Ed.
All right. We'll take a break, everybody, and I'll put links up on social media, both to Scott's work at the Capital Research Center, as well as over to Encounter Books for this book. And we'll be right back. Ed Martin, Pro America Report, back in a moment. Welcome back. Welcome back. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Time to check in with our old friend, John Zadrozny. John is the, he's head of investigations. He's a lawyer. He's the head of investigations, among other things, over at America First Legal. He has practiced law. And actually, I keep thinking of you, John, because you practiced in that district attorney's office up in New York, where President Trump will be dealing with those crazy people next week. So welcome back to the program. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Ed. Thank you so much for having me on the show again.
Well, America First Legal, we were talking off the air. Remind our listeners of the anniversary of the organization. I know everyone has really seen in about the last 6 to 9 months, it's really tipped. America First Legal, aflegal.org, by the way, is the website. Between the cases that you've taken up, the ability to get out and communicate on the issues, it's really kind of hit its stride. But tell us about the anniversary it's gone on and what you're up to.
Yeah, well, thank you for that, Ed. So, you know, America First Legal, aflegal.org, has definitely started with very humble beginnings. Stephen Miller, our founder, and Gene Hamilton, who's our vice president and general counsel, I had the privilege of working with both of them in the administration. They started basically a dream that I know that our side has had for a long time, which is to have a full-throated, fist-throwing, conservative-minded, but not partisan, just to be clear, think tank and a public interest law firm. Well, now, there are plenty of other good organizations full of good people around there, around D.C. and in the country trying to fight for things. But I think Stephen and Gene were looking to create something that was a little bit more dynamic, that was a little bit more just constantly moving, constantly taking on threats. And not only that, addressing the real threats. I mean, there are things that all need to be addressed in courts along the way, but some of these groups, respectfully, they've found some small things to litigate for years, and we're taking on society-ending existential things, I think.
Right.
And we've grown a little bit over the last 3 years, but not tremendously. It's a sign of a good management that they put a premium on talent. We worked really hard, and I'm privileged to be part of a fantastic team that Stephen and Gene have put together. You know, today, Ed, on the United States, there's a – there's an eclipse rolling through the country, as you know. I don't mind saying that I think in just its 3 years, America First Legal has eclipsed most of the other organizations that are in the orbit.
I think that's a good use. Certainly, here's what I'd say. We're talking with John Zadrozny, by the way, and he's, again, America First Legal's deputy director of investigations, a lawyer himself. You know, there was a period where it started out. You got FOIA requests. You were kind of pushing oversight. And then I really think the pivot was when the Center for Legal Equality, which is America First Legal's effort to say, as you pointed out, we're going to step in where, frankly, the civil libertarians should be saying you can't discriminate, you can't target people. It's kind of classic reason to be a lawyer. That's been a big pivot in things. And being fearless, to your point, you know, Miller and Hamilton, fearless, and they don't care. They're not looking for a Washington Post write-up. They're looking to kind of have the Washington Post cover what they care about. So let me move, though, John. I want to talk to you about something we were texting over the break, over Easter. The situation in Nebraska. You know, conservatives don't take on the stuff that is meaningful. And the way you can tell is when they do, the left goes crazy. In Nebraska, they have a system where, for whatever reason, decades ago, they allot their electoral college votes by allowing the congressional districts to select them. And most states are winner take all, with the exception of Maine, I guess, and Nebraska. And so Omaha, which is a Democrat bastion, and correct me when I get some of this wrong, as I will, they allot their electoral college vote by the congressional district, which means Joe Biden couldn't get 10 votes in Nebraska. But because Omaha has carved up a district that is more Democrat leaning, he gets an electoral vote. And the Republicans could, no, not even Republicans, the conservatives, some Democrats who became Republican, decided we're going to not allow that. Where is that? What's happening? And why shouldn't it be done? Is there any reason why we shouldn't get this done?
I mean, the short answer, Ed, is no, there's no reason why it shouldn't be done. You nailed all the basics correctly, that this is one of those things that every state, in order to make sure that it is effective, you know, they've kept their electoral college votes and provided them to the winner-take-all approach. Because really, when you think about it, not only does the Constitution basically permit that, in fact, almost require it, I think, but it's way, way more powerful from a state perspective. I mean, think about the power you have as a state. This is one of those things where people say, oh, your vote doesn't count. Well, no, in our system, actually, the electoral college system amplifies the power of your vote, because you're not one of 300 million people casting a ballot. You're one of, I don't know, 5, 6, 9, 11 million people, depending on what state you're from. And you're sending all those votes along with your fellow citizens to the presidential candidate. Now, with regards to Nebraska, you were correct. Nebraska and Maine are the only two that split. I'm not sure why they did it. I thought somewhere deep down, they thought it was someone in a legislature thought it was not fair or something, that these districts couldn't vote independently. What I find really interesting, though, is, first of all, this is a long time coming. Nebraska is a super conservative state, and why we would let basically the district that contains what people used to refer to as Obamaha have that like freebie vote. You know, you don't see, the left was not jumping up and down last week when they were having a conniption, Ed, saying, well, we want to make sure that Orange County and California's vote goes to whoever they vote for president. This wasn't carving up congressional, they weren't calling for like massive change at the national level for all states to send their electoral votes per congressional district. They just want this one. And right. I think really that there's some actual math that kind of scares them a little bit. I think there's actually a scenario where that vote changes. Let's say that Nebraska does move to a winner-take-all system. They pass this in the legislature this year, and it's in effect for 2024. They could be a 269-269 tie, in which case it goes to the House of Representatives. The left is terrified of that, I think, especially if the cards for what's going to happen in the fall are right. They don't want to deal with a new, very conservative House that is going to be making sure that they vote by state delegation, because that's what happens if you don't hit 270. So it's really funny.
So what happened in Nebraska? Walk us through what's going on in terms of the politics on the ground.
I think the one thing that I think happened, it failed, and the lefty media was jumping up and down for joy. But my understanding was there was an attempt to do it procedurally, and it was procedurally blocked, saying it wasn't germane for the vehicle they were using. And so I got the impression that it wasn't dead, that it was just they were going to take a second shot at it based on a new vehicle, a new piece of legislation, for example. And then that could still happen in the next few months. The way I look at it is take politics out of it. As a governor, whether I'm a Republican or Democrat, it's a no-brainer. I want our state state to send as many electoral votes to the winner of the state system, because it actually makes your state more powerful in terms of choosing a president. It's one of those things, too, by the way. I'll get back to the politics in a second, Ed, but like, it always cracks me up. Everyone says, oh, we should move to a national popular vote system, and you've got these idiots in Republican states who are. Right. Do you think a presidential candidate will ever go to Nebraska again? Do you think they're ever going to go to Montana again? They're not going to these. They're not going to Idaho. They're not going to any of these places. They're going to campaign in Los Angeles, New York, San Francisco, Houston, Miami, et cetera. Right. Now, in terms of what's going on in Nebraska, I don't know. I'm not from Nebraska, but I will say this. It seems like, you know, you got the conservatives who want to do it, and it's a no-brainer. Yeah, the governor out there, Governor Piller, I believe he was basically saying he seems all in. And actually, that's the most important thing, because it's really just a matter of marshaling resources and getting the bill to your desk. I suspect what's happening right now is the Democrats are having a conniption fit nationwide as well. And that you probably have some useful idiots in the Republican Party who are in the Nebraska state legislature who are flipping out to mirror their Democratic colleagues. One thing that's learned these last couple of years, Ed, is that the state legislatures are probably more rhino-y than Congress in some ways. And so I don't know the makeup of Nebraska. I'm sure you know some of Nebraskans who can give you the readout, but I suspect it could happen. And from a constitutional perspective, there's no reason it shouldn't happen.
John Zdrosny is our guest again. America First Legal is the website. You can learn more there about all their mission. It's important work. Support that work. It's aflegal.org. Many states now have actually had some freedom caucuses start up there and some of these things. And of course, there was ALEC and these movements that they start out, I think, tending towards conservative, but they tend to get dominated by the big money interests in the states. And so to your point, what's the reason to stop? There's no reason to stop, except a lot of times you'll get when you start to do the right thing, the media and the left will scream bloody murder. And then you see people say, well, wait a second. I'm a state senator. I really want to run for governor someday, or I'm a state rep. I really want to run for state Senate. And my local newspaper is screaming about this. Maybe I'll back off. And again, one of the great things about that about the dynamic, talking to John Zdrosny from over America First Legal, is these national organizations that will be fearless in weighing in, saying, no, wait a second. This is totally constitutional. In fact, it's more in line with the founders wanted. Or here's the arguments that you should be thinking about, not the ones that you're being sold. So I think it's very powerful. We'll see. One last thing. I just got under 30 seconds. You think it's going to be taken up again? You don't think the media reported it like it was over? You think it's coming back?
It depends, because I think it was not only the choice of vehicle that sabotaged it, but I believe Nebraska, like most states, has a very short springtime legislative session. So I think the governor's probably going to have to call for a special session, which I got the impression based on a story I saw the other day that he was going to do. Uh-huh. So look, we'll see. This is one of those moments where conservatives and Republicans in a state like Nebraska, for God's sake, have the chance to be the masters of their own destiny.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, and I think if you're a Trump supporter and you think that this lawfare and this battle for the country is going on so profoundly at so many levels, you got to understand this is a no-brainer in terms of engaging. So thanks, John Zdrosny. As always, America First Legal. Appreciate it. We'll take a break and be right back, everybody. I'll put links up to his website in my social media and with this. Be right back. Ed Martin, Pro America Report. Back in a moment.
This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report, presenting a daily conservative pro-family perspective since 1983 and continuing the legacy of Phyllis Schlafly. Now here's the president of Phyllis Schlafly Eagles, Ed Martin.
Earlier this year, sports gambling took center stage as the Super Bowl was televised from Las Vegas, Nevada. Apps available on everyone's phone made betting during the game, after the game, before the game more accessible and convenient than ever before. Any size bet goes into an internet surveillance system that exploits the information to target that bettor with a barrage of ads enticing him to gamble more. This is a goldmine for the online gambling companies, including FanDuel and DraftKings and BetMGM. Two of these three aired hugely expensive Super Bowl ads during the game. Calls to gambling addiction hotlines have spiked in the 38 states where sports betting has been legalized. When Ohio authorized sports gambling last year, calls to the state's gambler's hotline tripled in the very first month. The New York Times recently quoted the former Senator Bill Bradley of New Jersey, who sponsored a federal ban on sports gambling and who is a retired professional basketball player. Some pretend that sports gambling can be controlled, Bradley said, and I just don't think it will be controlled. I think it will pervade the culture. The U.S. Supreme Court regrettably struck down Bill Bradley's federal ban on sports gambling in the decision Murphy v. NCAA way back in 2018. And all but 12 states have since legalized betting on games. And it's no surprise, gambling addiction has risen to an all-time high. An employee of one NFL team, the Jacksonville Jaguars, stole $22 million from the team in order to lose virtually all of it on sports gambling. The team is attempting to recover that stolen money from the online gambling companies, but the companies unsurprisingly refuse. A federal district court in New Jersey dismissed a lawsuit by another victim of gambling, declaring that casinos have no legal duty to stop taking bets by a compulsive gambler. New Jersey's Consumer Fraud Act is supposed to shield against unconscionable acts by companies, yet gamblers are not protected. It's time for us to take responsibility and delete these gambling apps from our phones.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report with Ed Martin, president of Phyllis Schlafly Eagles. For 50 years, Mrs. Schlafly promoted grassroots efforts to rally conservatives. Today, you can harness the power of social media by going to phyllisschlafly.com and sharing these commentaries with friends across the country. Get started at phyllisschlafly.com. Thanks for listening, and join us again for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Hey, welcome back to the Pro America Report. This is Ryan Hyde again, filling in, guest hosting here for Mr. Ed Martin today, and glad to be back with you to wrap up the show. What a good one. And I just wanted to come back in, and I got a couple of thoughts to offer. We always talk on this program about being informed, about going and finding out for yourself, following the facts. What is it? Ed's phrase, distrust and verify. That's a good motto in today's world, with a world full of fake news. We really are responsible more than ever for finding our own information and facts, for doing the legwork, for being citizen journalists, since the journalists aren't doing their job anymore. Now, make no mistake, there are still good resources. There are great places out there. We talk about them all the time. In fact, we have a lot of their folks on, people who write at American Greatness, folks who are over at the Epic Times, Just the News, Newsmax. There are good places who are writing good stories, who are speaking the truth, who are finding real facts that aren't just the mainstream media, that are all driven by the same slavering narrative, pro-establishment, pro-machine, to support this regime that is currently in place, the Biden administration, the leftist move that we're seeing. There are good places. However, I would like to encourage you once again to consider a lot of the resources that we put together, because there are a lot of places that move fast and furious. It kind of gets lost every single day under the news cycle. There's just no way to help that. The news moves so fast that some of these places have to keep up with what's being talked about. And then there are a lot of fantastic organizations, but they advocate for just one thing, or they really have their one big issue and they talk about a few others. And I have no fault for any of these things. It's just pick and choose, each to its own. But there is a really neat legacy here at Phyllis Schlafly Eagles. And this is kind of what I wanted to bring up. There's a really cool legacy of not only going into several different topics. Phyllis has a huge legacy across the pro-family movement, the fight for life against abortion in America, the fight for traditional marriage, both legally and culturally, the fight for religious liberty, all of these different things. There's also this huge history of fighting for constitutionalism, for a sound judiciary, for responsible fiscal policies, for sovereignty-first border and immigration policies. Across all of the spectrum, there's just this wonderful wealth of fundamental conservative principles being applied across the field of issues that face us today. And even though Phyllis isn't with us anymore, she passed away in 2016, we still carry on that mission. And even though we don't claim to be right and to know exactly what to do on every single issue, all the jots and tittles, we want to have the conversations. And we have those conversations out loud for everyone to hear and to participate in. And there is an incredible wealth of knowledge. This program, the Pro America Report, is kind of a part of that. It's under the umbrella. Obviously, we're on the Salem Radio Network here, streaming out of San Diego, and it gets Dopplered. I don't know if that's the correct word. It gets ported into several other places as well. You might be listening to this on the radio in St. Louis or down south, or you might just be listening online to the podcast. But nonetheless, this is one of those connected things, but there are several others. I am proud to be able to host a great live stream program on Thursdays, and I don't say that because of me. It's just a great program. We talk about a lot of interesting stuff, and we actually talk. Mason, the co-producer of this program, he and I sit down every Thursday at noon on our live stream program called Unauthorized Caucus, and we talk about these things. We pick a topic or two, and we actually have out the conversation. People hop into the chat, and we talk about it. John and Andy Schlafly write a fantastic column. And it laser focuses into an issue, brings in tons of historical concepts and perspective and context. That's not concepts, context. That's the word I was looking for. It pulls a lot of great stuff together each and every week. Every Tuesday night it comes out. You can go to PhyllisSchlafly.com, and then it echoes across all kinds of places. WorldNet Daily carries it. Townhall.com carries it. So many other fantastic places echo that column out into the world, and it just keeps going. There are great things that come from here. The Education Reporter, that's another one that's just absolutely incredible. Our Education Reporter editor, Sue Kunstman, just does an incredible amount of research, and there are wonderful articles that really hone in on the education issue, book review, all kinds of great stuff available every single month over at edreporter.org, edreporteronline.org. There is great stuff, and I can't even tell you how important it is to go and be educated, to go and just fill yourself and your own knowledge with context, with little things here and there that you can recall. You don't have to know everything all at once, but you need to know a little bit of the connectors to be able to critically think about things and plug it in and put things in their place and decide where we should or shouldn't as Americans land on these issues. Let me encourage you, go over to PhyllisSchlafly.com, ProAmericaReport.com, where Ed does his writings. You'll find all the stuff again for this program, but also there is where you're going to find the Education Reporter. You're going to find John and Andy Schlafly's weekly column. You're going to find the Phyllis Schlafly Report monthly newsletter. You're going to find the Education Reporter, which has been out since 1986. There are so many incredible resources, and this is just the one organization that has a well-rounded view. Again, there's several others, and you'll hear us reference them and talk about them. I can't even stress to you, as much as Ed talks about and is absolutely correct, we must distrust and verify. Where do you go to verify? This is it. I'm making that pitch. I would love, and I'm appealing to you to do that. There are great programs as well here on the Salem Radio Network that you're going to hear from also that are going to talk about all these issues in long form, and we're going to flesh it out. And how does that connect? It is more important than ever before to not only be informed and to be consuming these kinds of sources and resources, but it is important to be having those conversations with family and friends, because we got a lot of people who I think at base agree with us on a lot of the issues, a lot of these things that really are common sense, not the fake common sense things, that political phrase that the Democrats like to use. Real, honest to goodness, logical, common sense things that are better for America and better for her people. That's what we need to be listening to, consuming, processing, and then talking about to other people who we know agree with us, but they are battered every day by the fake news narrative machine that we must beat back. So distrust and verify, but there are some places to go and verify. Thank you for being with us today on the Pro America Report. Thank you for being the wonderful listeners that you are, the great family we have here to talk to every single day. Thank you to Ed for being such a wonderful host, and Mason, my co-producer, for helping me keep everything running in the background. We appreciate you. We appreciate you being here. Don't forget, go to ProAmericaReport.com and Phyllis Schlafly. Grab today's show, share it with a friend, and we will look forward to seeing you back here tomorrow on the next edition of the Pro America Report.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.